Worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our phone guest today in just a few moments, but as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 121, beginning at verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve you going out and your coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift your word is to us. Thank you for the many ways that we are blessed as we just simply take time to open your word and spend time reading and meditating on your word, and thus spend time one-on-one with you, time listening to your words of counsel, your words of blessing, your words of encouragement, your words of empowerment. Thank you for the privilege of being able to read your word. And Lord, I pray that more and more with every passing day, that our listeners and believers all over the world would grow in their knowledge of the great blessing that is found in just simply reading and listening to you as you speak to us through your word each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We're grateful to have with us once again a young lady that's been on with us a few other times, actually over the last couple years, Shekayla Johnson. She's actually headed to the ninth grade this year, and very inspirational young lady that speaks and shares her testimony of what the Lord has done for her. Shekayla, how are you today?
I'm good, and you?
Oh, blessed. Really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the broadcast with us today. And I did get it right. You are going to the ninth grade, correct?
Yes, sir. I am.
So you'll be transitioning from middle school to high school, which is really a huge step. So we're certainly going to be praying for you, though. But thank you for being on the broadcast today. So today you were going to, I believe, if I remember correctly, you were going to say a word of prayer, and then you're going to share a testimony with us, right?
Yes, sir, I will.
All right. Well, thank you again for taking the time to be with us today. And please go right ahead at this time, okay?
Pastor Parker, I would like to appeal to the young people more so than the adults. Because we're still trying to find our way. And I would just like them to know that there is hope in Jesus Christ. So today I would like to thank you for giving me another opportunity to speak a word for you. And I'm happy to do so.
Okay. Praise God.
Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you once again for giving me the opportunity to speak a word for you. Now, Lord, I ask that you will be with me and put the words of my mouth like you did Jeremiah. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. The scripture would come from Psalms 107, verses 1 through 2. Psalms 107, verses 1 through 2. And it reads, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hands of the enemy. I would like to use for a subject, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And if I could use a subtitle, it will be, I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Let's look at the word redeemed. Redeemed means to buy back something that is lost. It means something that is bought with a price. For example, you have done work all, you have been on your job all day long, and you have even done overtime. Now you just want to go home, take your shower, eat dinner, and go to bed. But the minute you fall into a deep sleep, a friend who's in trouble calls you, but you are so sleepy, you have to struggle to stay awake to listen to your friends. It doesn't feel good because you're tired and you're sleepy. But you love this friend so much, you are willing to stay awake and listen to that friend. That's called paying a price for love. Now let's look back on Calvary. Jesus was the only perfect man to walk the earth. So So Jesus had to shed his blood to redeem us. His blood was pierced. This is why we can plead his blood over our lives. So we can say, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I am redeemed, bought with his blood. There is life in Jesus' blood. One of my favorite songs is The Blood. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength, and it will never lose its power. So, yes, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I was asked to give my testimony today in hope that it would help someone. And I have given my testimony so many times. And as I often say, I'm going to keep on telling my testimony as many times as God wants me to. I was 3 years old, and my brothers were 1 year old, when we was placed in our first foster home. We was taken away from our birth mom because she was on drugs, and she had us walking the streets late at night with her. Then we was placed with our grandmother. Well, she was an alcoholic, and we got whooping every time we said we was hungry. When we got taken away from her, I was about 7 years old, and he was about five. We had already been to 3 different foster homes. When we made it to the 4th one, which is where I am now, I believe God said to Satan, enough is enough. Take your hands off of my children. So when I say I am redeemed, bought with a price, because God has picked me up, turned me around, and placed my feet on solid ground. That's the kind of God I serve. He is my redeemer. He lives in me. He is my savior. He is my healer. He is my provider. He is my rock. And as a matter of fact, he's everything I need, because all I need is just a little more Jesus. Glory be to God. I love the Lord. He heard my cry for help. My brother and I were adopted on December 16, 2013. We took our first flight last summer from Atlanta to California to Chicago. I've been bought with a price, and from there, Jesus has changed my whole life. Young people, you have heard my story. Now, what's yours? We need to ask ourselves these questions. Do you pay attention to the teaching of the word? Do you love the word? Do you apply God's words to your life? Do you store his words in your heart? Do you practice the word? Do you pray that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you? The Bible speaks of 3 different heart temperatures. Number one, a cold heart. A cold heart doesn't even think about God at all. Number two, a lukewarm heart. A lukewarm heart is a heart that is bored with God. Number three, and finally, a hot heart. A hot heart is the kind of heart God wants you to have, which boils over with love and excitement for him. So get ready to turn up the heat for your heart so that we can build a spiritual foundation for Christ. We can do it. Yes, we can. We are who God says we are. And remember, whom God set free is free indeed. Most people say breakfast is the best way to start your day. But I say start your day with a breakfast of giving thanks. Pour yourself a big glass of refreshing prayer. March down on his inspired word and have a second helping of giving thanks. And wash it all down with some praise. And then keep your heart and mind nourished by God for the rest of the day. You know, serving God isn't about popularity. I'm not popular at school because all the kids say I'm too different. I'm not popular at church either. Some say I sing too loud. Others say when I speak too loud. But I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And yes, I'm going to keep on singing loud, and I'm going to keep on testifying for Jesus until he say that's enough. So when the devil stands up, I will not sit down, because Jesus gave us authority over him, and I will not sit down. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I don't know about you, but I have to be about my father's business because he's been good to me. I will never forget what he has done for me. So if some of you are like me, had a rocket start in life, remember, it's not where you start that counts, but it's where you end up. And if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. Let's not forget, people throw rocks at things that shine. And young people, we do shine because we are God's children. And when we see trouble coming our way, we must tell Jesus all about it, because we are redeemed. Jesus has paid the price. Until we understand that Jesus Christ bought us, we can stop counting other people haves against our have not. And another thing, God has no cell phone, but I still talk to him. He has no Facebook page, but he is still my friend. He has no Twitter, but we can still follow him. He has no Snapchat, but we can still picture him. But what he does have is eternal life for anyone who believes in him and obey his commandments. Now, Father, I've said what you asked me to say, and I've done what you asked me to do. I hope that someone will receive you as their personal Savior. Thanks for being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. All these things I pray in your loving Son, Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Shekayla. I really appreciate you sharing that very inspirational word for our listeners. Now, let me ask you a couple of things, Shekayla, before we have to run here. I really appreciate, and again, the words of encouragement you had for all the young people and everyone else listening as well. Wanted to ask you this too: if you had to mention one or two things that you think young people need the most prayer about these days, just from your being in school and amongst your peers, what would you say would be one or two of the biggest prayer needs that young people have these days?
Peer pressure and homosexuality.
Peer pressure and homosexuality. So it would be what you'd ask is if the listeners would really pray for young people to be able to both follow God in the midst of those kind of temptations then, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay then. And how would you like for our listeners also to pray for your school as well? You're going to be going to see East Side. Is that the name of your high school you'll be going to?
Yes, sir. I will.
How would you want people to pray for your school?
I would want them to pray for the teachers to have patience with the students, and I want them to pray for the students to have patience and knowledge and best behavior and be obedient
to
the teachers.
All righty then. Okay. And what word of encouragement would you share to other young people your age and older and younger about how important it is to read their Bibles? What would you want to say to them?
I would say when you read your Bible, they can also help you to overcome evil with good, and it will help you to be redeemed by the Lord and glorify His word.
That's right. Okay. And what would you want to say to them? You know, as lots of other young people will be going to different grades in this new school year and just to several weeks after the summer, of course, summers hadn't been underway very long, but seems like nowadays summer doesn't last too long. But what word of encouragement would you give them about the importance of praying?
The importance of praying will help you overcome a lot of evil and good things, but most of all, you will want prayer to help you through your school year about peer pressure and a lot of other bad things that goes on in school.
That's right.
Such as bullying and
Okay. Would you say a word of prayer for all the young people listening, please, before we end our time?
I will. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me another opportunity to testify for you. Lord, I ask that everything I say will be pleasing unto you. I pray for young people everywhere, and most of all, Lord, I ask that someone will be saved. And Lord, I ask that they will glorify you. All these things I pray in your loving Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Father, thank you, Lord, for Shekayla, and thank you for other young people like her that are courageous enough to speak up for you. And Lord, I thank you for the fact that that's what young people should do, recognize that all the blessings in our lives come straight from you and from your hand, and that the best life they can live, the best life any of us can live, is a life where we fully give ourselves to you. Bless Shekayla as she stands as a witness for you and raise up many more young people that will do the same thing in their schools, in their homes, in their communities. Bless Shekayla and all the others mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. Shekayla, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on once again. As always, you're a blessing and you're an inspiration. Keep sharing your life and keep testifying for Jesus, okay?
And thank you for having me.
All right. Again, a privilege and honor. Again, Shekayla Johnson coming on and sharing a wonderful word of inspiration to all of our listeners. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Be right back.
One of the greatest needs for this generation is for men to be men.
Pastor, author, musician, Carl King.
Men have lost their initiative, and they're spending time in games and pornography, and the culture is vomiting this out, and many men are just sucking it up. But I think that the Word of God, and I think that our culture is asking for men to step up and say, okay, I'm going to use that manliness that God has given me. I'm going to be a provider. I'm going to be a help. I'm going to be a protector. I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to use and exploit women. By me being self-controlled and self-disciplined, I'm going to change the world.
Advancing truth, wisdom, and empowerment. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
This is probably the oldest question there is concerning the things of God. Is it okay to ask God questions? If we look at when the angel of the Lord visited Zechariah about he and Elizabeth, he questioned God and it didn't work out too good. The angel of the Lord visited Mary. She questioned God and he gave her an explanation. So what was the difference? Have you ever heard the phrase, when you know better, you do better? I think that that was what was happening with Zechariah. He and Elizabeth weren't young and naive like Mary. They had been around for a minute and they should have known better. God takes not only our actions into account, but our motives too. It's our attitude or the state of our hearts that makes the difference. Don't believe me? Take inventory then. If the Lord were to visit you right now with surprising off-the-wall news, what would your reaction be? If your reaction isn't what it should be, then ask the Lord for help. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. It is a definite biblical teaching that every individual will answer to God for the stewardship with which he was entrusted. Previous generations therefore realized that not only would each of us answer to God for how we handled our life and our family and our possessions, but also for how we handled our country. Consequently, voting was considered an act for which we were directly accountable to God. As Samuel Adams explained, "Let each citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts in human society for which he is accountable to God and his country. He should then appeal to his conscience that he has not trifled with that sacred trust." Voting is a serious responsibility for which Christians will answer to God. Therefore, make sure that you vote and vote biblically in the upcoming elections.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
I feel so alive. Oh yes, I feel so alive. Oh yeah.
music of Covenant Church, the song Let My Heart Dance. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 27 tells us these words of encouragement and empowerment. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high up on a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Verses 1 through 14, all of Psalm 27. Lord, thank you for the fact that your word is such a tremendous gift to us in so many ways. Thank you for the fact that your word shows us how to be saved, how to come to know you. Your word teaches us how to walk with you, how to follow you. Your word teaches us how to pray. Your word teaches us to be students of your word. Your word teaches us to be hearers and doers of your word. Father, help us more and more to be faithful students who will read and meditate on your word every day. Lord, teach us that by your grace, that if we simply become students of your word, persons that will commit to faithfully reading and meditating and obeying your word every day, that we'll live a life that's truly successful in the truest sense of the word. Teach us and guide us to be faithful students of your word, learners, always learning more from your word and your spirit, committed to hearing and doing your word every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, in the first portion of the broadcast, again, you were listening to a young lady by the name of Shekayla Johnson, a precious young lady that's willing to share her testimony to tell the goodness of God at work in her life. And, you know, I want to encourage every listener, encourage your children, your grandchildren, and the young people you know to really stretch out on the Lord. The fact is, the best life our young people and all of us as adults can possibly live is a life where we're not simply trotting after God, but where we're running after God. The best thing in the world is to know God and to live for God. There's no better life you can live than a life where you know God and you're running after him every day of your life. So be sure that if you're listening today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day to get saved. Today is a good day to decide that you're going to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart to become the Lord and Savior of your life, because you need Jesus more than you need the air that you breathe. Life doesn't make sense without God. In fact, life doesn't work without God. But when you come to know God, then it makes all the difference in the world. Getting a life, your life plugged into God. I'm reminded of the story. Story of a man that he once had a refrigerator that played out on him. It just stopped working. So he went down to the local appliance store, and the salesman showed him a particular model that really, really impressed him. The salesman showed him this particular refrigerator. He said, this refrigerator has extra meat compartments, extra drawers. It can dispense water, can dispense ice cubes in any shape you want. And he went on for about 5 minutes telling him all the virtues of this particular refrigerator. And finally, the man said, I like it. I'll take it. So he has it delivered to his house. Then he runs down to the local supermarket, hurries back home, and fills up his refrigerator with all kinds of goodies from the grocery store. Then he steps in his back room and packs his bag because he's about to leave on a 4-week trip. And just before he steps out of the door on his 4-week trip, he notices that he hasn't plugged his refrigerator in. And then he thinks to himself for a moment, Well, you know, the salesman told me all these wonderful things this refrigerator could do, told me that it had extra meat compartments, extra drawers, told me all the great things this refrigerator could do. And I was so impressed. I'm sure it ought to work without plugging it in. So he doesn't plug his refrigerator in, and he goes off on his trip, and he's gone for 4 weeks. And as he gets back to his home, just before he steps into his door, he says to himself, the first thing I'm going to do is get a snack out of my fine, wonderful, magnificent, brand-new refrigerator. He steps into his house, opens the refrigerator, and it smells like a dead dog inside. All his food is totally ruined. So he rushes to the phone, calls the salesman up, and for 5 minutes he's yelling into the phone, yelling at the salesman, telling him how much he deceived him and misled him about this refrigerator. And finally, when the salesman has a chance to speak, he says, sir, did you plug it in? And then the man hesitates for a moment, and he thinks to himself, well, you know, I didn't plug it in. I thought it was such a good machine, such a magnificent machine. You told me all the things it could do. I thought it was such a great machine that it ought to work without plugging it in. And finally, once again, the salesman said, sir, it's a good machine. It's a great machine. It can do everything I told you that it could do. But in order for it to function properly, you have to plug it in. And you know, you and I are a whole lot like that refrigerator. God has made us the crown of the creation. The fact is, your mind can do all kinds of things the most sophisticated computer made by men can't possibly do. Your body can do all kinds of things that the most sophisticated robot couldn't do. Plus, you have personality, gifts, and strengths. So the fact is, you're a wonderful creation of God. But for each and every one of us and for every other human being in the world, in order for life to work correctly for each one of us, just like that refrigerator needed to be plugged into an electric socket, you and I were created to be plugged into Jesus Christ. Because outside of Jesus Christ, life doesn't work for us. Life doesn't come together as it should be. Life will never be what it should be unless we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and place our lives in His hands. Only then will life come together and help us to fulfill our God-given destiny and help us to be everything God created us to be. I'd like to invite any and every listener that would like to make that all-important step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior. I want to invite you to make that all-important step in your life, if you would. If you want to do that, or if you feel a need to recommit your heart to the Lord as well, I want to invite you to simply pray this prayer along with me, if you would. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me, Lord, with an everlasting love. You've loved me so much that you came into this world. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And Lord, 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Right now, Lord, I confess, Lord, I've sinned and I've done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent of the wrong I've done. Lord, forgive me for all the wrong I've ever done. And right now, Lord, I say to you, I believe Jesus came into this world for me. I believe he lived for me. And I believed he died on the cross for me. And I believe that he rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Right now, Lord Jesus, I open my heart and my whole life to you. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord Jesus, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live my whole life for you. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you committed your heart to the Lord, or prayed it as a recommitment of your life to the Lord, we would really like to hear from you. I want to give you my email. My email address is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Or you can call us at this number, the office number, 662 844-5036, extension 381. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Would really like to hear from you. Again, the email is jparker@afa.net. And the number is 662-844-5036, extension 381. And if you'll contact us, we'd really like to send to you some information that'll help you to really begin to grow up and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. Or if you're listening and you're already saved, but you recommitted your heart to the Lord, or you just want to get some of the materials, just email us or give us a call. Be glad to send it to you, because we'd like to help you grow as strong in the Lord as you can be. And we would be honored to send the material to you. But keep in mind, life is designed to be lived for God's glory, for His honor. In fact, life is designed to be full of God. And the best life you can possibly live is a life where you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And once you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you're following Him, you're living for Him every day. And keep in mind, every believer has a testimony. Just like the young lady, Shekayla, in the earlier segment, beautifully shared her testimony. You have one as well, and so do I. And we should make it our goal to share our testimony every day, because remember, every believer's testimony is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And God can use your testimony to point others to Jesus Christ. And remember, we're called to go into the world and make disciples. So all of us, this is part of our responsibility. There are people all over our communities, our states, our nation, our world that desperately, their greatest need in life is to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it's your responsibility and mine to help point people to Jesus Christ. And part of helping to point them to Christ is by sharing the testimony God has given you. Sometimes believers make the big mistake of saying, well, I have a boring testimony. Nothing has ever happened to me. If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, there's no such thing as a boring testimony. Your testimony is set on fire of the Holy Spirit and is powerful enough to be God's instrument to draw many people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Make it your goal to share your testimony every single day in some capacity with someone, maybe by phone, maybe in person. There are people that desperately need to be pointed to Jesus Christ. There are people that are hurting all over the place, people going through struggles and difficulties. And just like Shekayla has been through some tough things, some things that many of you will never go through, all of us go through tough times sometimes, but nobody can help you handle life like Jesus can. Lord, thank you for every believer listening. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony you've given to each one of us of the great things you did in our lives when you saved us, and the great things you have and continue to do through our lives as we pray and receive the answers to prayer, as we see your hand move to bless us, to work through us, and to work in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be about our Father's business every day, sharing our testimony, pointing people to Jesus, and teaching and encouraging them to know that life is about knowing and walking with Jesus. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Be right back.
Equipped with Chris Brooks, a weekday live call-in featuring your questions about authentic discipleship in a stressful culture. Chris Brooks is a pastor, a seminary dean, and a husband and father. His biblical perspective will help you navigate the spiritual issues in your world. Equipped with Chris Brooks, here at Weekdays.
Monday, June 27th is when Equipped with Chris Brooks comes to Urban Family Talk, Monday through Fridays at noon Central.
Coming next week on The Dwelling Place, Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible, line by line and verse by verse, to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
The Dwelling Place with Al Pittman, weekdays at 2:30 and 10:30 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
The Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God if we want to stand firm in the face of spiritual warfare. But that list of items in Ephesians chapter 6 starts in a very important place. And Dr. Tony Evans will tell us why as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Piece number one, the truth belt. If you're going to dress up in Jesus, you need a belt. You need a truth belt. Now, the Roman soldier had this long tunic that flowed down to the ground, but when it came time to fight, he couldn't really maneuver with that thing, so he would tuck that thing up underneath his belt so he would have mobility. The belt had loops on it, which would carry his sword, for example, so he could connect his breastplate into it. It was the fundamental piece. Everything else connected to it. Everything else hung on it. In other words, if he didn't have his belt, he couldn't wear his breastplate. If he didn't have his belt, he couldn't carry his sword. If he didn't have his belt, he couldn't hold everything together. To stand firm, hold on to God's ground that Satan is trying to take from you. He's trying to take your joy. He's trying to take your family. He's trying to take your meaning. He's trying to take your purpose. He's trying to take your future. He's trying to take your life. He's trying to take all of that. And God says, if you just get dressed and stop trying to live a naked Christian life, he won't be able to take stuff anymore.
Stop being a victim of the spiritual battle going on around you. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. It'll show you how to break the bonds Satan uses to keep us down, including traps like substance abuse or sexual, emotional, or relational issues. Get a copy of Victory in Spiritual Warfare today by visiting us at tonyevans.org. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Get our attention to prove he is enough.
music of Mandisa, the song God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk in the Gospel of John, chapter 21. It's a powerful chapter that reminds us in many different ways about the importance of following God by simply loving God and loving people. John chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We're going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you've just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren, that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Verses 1 through 25, all of John chapter 21. And to every believer listening, I want to encourage you to take time to read John chapter 21 all the way through. And when you've read it once, go back and read it again. And then when you finished it a second time, read it a third time and a fourth time. Really spend time reading and meditating on that chapter. There's so much that God wants to speak to every disciple about following him found in that chapter. John chapter 21 is a powerful chapter, but also it's the only gospel that records this particular story. This is, of course, one of the instances where Jesus appears to his disciples after he's risen from the dead. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they don't record this particular story, and it's a powerful, powerful one. Note again, the disciples go out fishing on their own as it starts out. But of course, at first, they catch nothing on their own. But then they hear from Jesus, and of course, they don't even recognize that it's Jesus. Jesus is on the shore, and he calls out to them as they're on the boat out on the sea, and he asks them, and notice he refers to them as children. "Children, do you have any food?" Well, of course, they let him know, "No, we don't." And he tells them where to fish and how to fish And when they follow his direction, they catch a net full of fish. Well, of course, one of the powerful lessons there is when we learn how to listen to God, when we learn how to seek God and listen to him, God's guidance leads to success. In all of life, God's direction leads to success and blessing in life. We've got to learn to listen to God through his word and by his spirit. So as followers of Christ, we've got to listen to him. That's part of why every believer is called to be a faithful student of God's word. That's how we hear from God. That's how we get direction from God, listening to him. If you want to listen to God, if you want to hear from God, simply open his word. If you want to hear a word from heaven, open your Bible and read, and you'll hear one. You need wisdom for the day? Open your Bible and you'll get some. God always has a word for us found specifically in the written word, his precious word, the word of God. But also notice, too, Jesus shares a very powerful lesson, an important lesson about loving him. At one point, he basically takes Peter aside. And notice, remember, Jesus in his love is reinstating Peter, because Peter, just before Jesus' crucifixion, Peter had denied Jesus, not just once, not twice, not just twice, but three times. He denied that he even knew him. And Jesus, in his love and grace, is allowing Peter to be restored. But he specifically does it in this way. He asks Peter the question. He asks him, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And of course, Peter replies, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then his response is, "Feed my lambs." Jesus asks him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter's response, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, the second time he says, "Tend my sheep." And then Jesus said a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And it points out that Peter's grieved on the third question. And his response is, specifically, he says, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now notice what Jesus says. The first time he says, "Feed my lambs." The second time he says, "Tend my sheep." And the third time he says, "Feed my sheep." Remember, God sees loving him, and he sees that the proper reaction in loving God is by ministering to his people, reaching out in love to his people. So when we share the gospel, we're loving the people God, Jesus, died on the cross for. When we point others to Jesus Christ, we're loving the people for whom Jesus died on the cross. When we reach out and encourage and help people to grow up in their faith, we're loving the people for whom Jesus died on the cross. When we give of ourselves, when we give things or bless people in some way, we take something that belongs to us and give it to them to bless them, we're loving God as we love people. Remember, all of us are called to love Jesus Christ. First of all, obviously, to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then as we follow God, a huge part of what we're simply called to do in life is to love God as we love people. Every believer is called to ministry. Every believer is called to full-time ministry. What does our full-time ministry consist of? It consists of walking in close fellowship with God and loving people. Being willing to live a lifestyle of continually talking about Jesus Christ, pointing people to Christ, helping them grow up in their faith, that's a part of making disciples. And also a big part of that is loving people, loving them enough to give of ourselves, give of our time, our effort, our energy, to love people, to help them in need. And many times that involves giving of ourselves, sometimes giving your money towards missions and ministry. But also sometimes it might mean going in your closet and giving away a coat or a shirt or a dress or something that will bless somebody else. The fact is, many of us are blessed in so many ways. But you know, when you give to people, especially to people in need, you know, it's just typical that immediately they think about God. A normal response when you bless someone with something that will help them, their response typically is, "God bless you." Why do they say that? What makes them respond that way? Because when they're blessed in some way, it immediately makes them think about God. It makes them think about the goodness of God. And by and large, typically people think of God, and they're thankful to God for the blessing they received through you or me or through whoever they received it. As we draw our time to close today, I want you to be encouraged to ask God to help you to be involved in ministry every day, because all of us as God's followers, as disciples, are called to full-time ministry. Every day our job is to listen to the Word of God and the Spirit of God and to be God's vessels of love and vessels of blessing to the world. The world desperately needs Jesus more than anything else in the whole wide world, and that's what we have to give away. The Jesus who's inside of us, we're to be giving away every day. Thank you, Lord, for every believer listening. Thank you for the fact that you've saved us and made us brand new. You've given us a testimony to give away. Help us to give our testimony away every day. Help us to be involved in the work of sharing the gospel every single day. Help us to be vessels you can use every day to point people to Jesus Christ, to help them grow up in their faith, and to help them come to a place where they're living a life for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be willing to give of what we may have, our time, our energy, to love people. Help us to be willing to give our money or possessions to bless and point people to Christ. Thank you for that opportunity every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening today. As always, we appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.